Well, good morning, ECCC family. Welcome to church in the era of the coronavirus. This is certainly something a little different than I'm used to doing, and I know it's different for you as well. I understand some of you are gathered in your families in smaller groups and are watching it together. I think that's awesome. Understand that a lot of people within our congregation are watching this right now. So even though we don't see one another and we're not next to one another in a pew, we are all together, and the Holy Spirit is with us. And we're going to do our best to just get the Word of God out, and understand it will not return void regardless of whether it's the normal circumstances or not. So please understand that. Ever since I went into the ministry some 27 years ago, I've had this recurring dream, and I have it probably two or three times a year. And it's I show up at church on a Sunday morning, and I get up to preach, and there's no one sitting in the pews. And of course, I wake up and I say, well, that'll never happen. That's no big deal. But for obvious reasons, that has happened here this morning. I was going to say that the reason that the pews are empty was because that you all knew I took a vacation this past week and you thought Kendall was preaching, but I thought that wouldn't be very nice. So I'm not going to say that. But this past Wednesday evening around 7 o'clock, Stacy and I, we weren't stir crazy yet, but we had a little bit of cabin fever, I guess, and so we wanted to get out, and we gassed up the car, and we drove around town for a little bit. And I don't know if you've done that yet or not in the evening, but two words came to mind as Stacy and I were driving through downtown Columbus, and that was sad and eerie. It was sad because so many people who are normally out and about were not. The lights of restaurants and businesses were shut off. The parking lots were empty, and it was pretty sad, and it could really cause a person to become anxious. It could cause a person to start worrying about the future. It was eerie to me as well because it seemed like a scene from one of those end times apocalyptic kind of movies where nothing is happening. Now, I don't believe for a moment that this is the beginning of the end times or anything like that. But that doesn't lessen the fear that some people have. That doesn't lessen the anxiety that some people have about what's going on in our world right now. I know we've all been tempted to worry through this process. First of all, some of us are worried about testing positive for the coronavirus, or maybe a loved one testing positive. Perhaps secondly, you might be worried about the economy. You might be worried about your job. Some of you, you're worried about school. You've been in college now for 4 years, maybe more. You're wrapping up your college career. You're ready to walk across that stage and get your diploma, and maybe that's been on hold, and you're worried about that a little bit. Or maybe you're in high school, and you're a senior, perhaps, and this is your final year, and some of you are athletes, and some of you are in drama productions. Some of you are looking forward to prom, and all of those things have been put on hold, and there's some doubt over those things because of this pandemic that we're experiencing right now. Would you take a moment and just listen to what the Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5? It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding." Would you just take a moment and say that with me right now out loud? It's something that I think we all need to be reminded of. Let's say that together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. I encourage you today by saying, even though we don't understand the why of what's happening, we need to trust the Lord. And as out of control as this situation seems to be, God is still in control. Don't ever doubt that God isn't in control. And that's the first thing that I think we need to understand this morning as we meet together and open God's Word. Understand that He is in control of the situation, and He will provide. I'm pretty sure that when this virus began, God was not sitting up there and saying, oh, I didn't see that coming. That really just shook me. That took me off guard. I certainly didn't have that on the radar. But I also don't think God caused this to happen. But for some reason, it has been allowed to happen. And just like I mentioned in the video that we put out earlier in the week, when our nation was jolted by 9/11 and our community was devastated by the flood of 08, there were some pretty amazing opportunities for the church to be the church. Right after 9/11, many of our sanctuaries were filled to capacity with people who were coming to worship. During the flood, I saw this church shine like maybe it's never shined before or since, when people stepped up and helped flood victims by delivering water and food and giving sacrificially of their finances and their time to help people who were in need. Some of you who are watching this video, you were around whenever the fire hit the church in the early 70s and the building was burned to the ground. And what an opportunity that was to be a witness in this community. I want to encourage you, church, even though we're not going to be in our building for a few weeks, we are still the church. It's a great time to be the church, and it's a great time to let God work through you. I've already seen this happening just in the last couple of days. During my social distancing, I think, honestly, social distancing, it can also be known as tackling a honey-do list. A lot of us have time to do some things that we didn't have time to do before. And during my time of social distancing, I was able to paint what used to be Nick's room before he got married. We were setting that up for a different type of room. And so I was in the midst of painting that and doing some work in there, and I received a phone call from Carolyn Greathouse. Well, Carolyn Greathouse had just gotten off the phone with Janet Baldwin. And Janet Baldwin had just gotten off the phone with Betty Lambert. And it came to their attention that Betty was running low on food. Betty's one of our elderly people, and it's not wise for her to get out and go get food. And so Carolyn called me to let me know that she needed food. She'd seen the video that we'd put out that we were willing to do that. She called me and said, you know, can we provide for that? I said, yeah, we'll I've got some people who are willing to do that. I'll give them a call, and we'll get Betty taken care of. I no sooner hung up the phone, and I got a call from Dave Fisher. Dave Fisher said, hey, I'd like to be one of those people that could help out with food distribution or go get medications or whatever the case may be. I'd like to be one of those people. I said, well, that's great. I just got a call, and Betty Lambert is needing some food. Well, unbeknownst to me, Betty Lambert was on Dave Fisher's shepherding list, and he'd been trying to get a hold of her, but didn't have the correct number and could not reach her. And so by these two ladies communicating to me, I was able to get Betty Lambert in touch with her shepherd. Just a few moments later, Dave Fisher already had a grocery list and was making plans to go out and get Betty the things that she needed. See, that's God providing for his people. And it's pretty awesome to see that. And it reminds me of a passage of Scripture we all need to be reminded of how much God cares for us during this time. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. It says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? We read Scripture, and time again, we see God just really coming through for his people. He provides for his children. We can go all throughout Scripture. You think about the Israelites whenever they were wandering in the wilderness, and they were wondering where their next meal might come from. Here's what Deuteronomy 2:7 tells us. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. I believe that through this time, we can trust that God's going to provide for us, that we will lack nothing. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 6, we see how God provided for the prophet Elijah. It says, "Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again." And that tells me that God provided for him, and that just reassured him. And he was able to lay his head down and rest, knowing that God took care of him. He's going to do the same for you. We read in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 14 that Jesus fed 5,000 people with just a couple of loaves of bread and two fish. And not only did he feed those 5,000, but we read in verse 20 of chapter 14, it says, "So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained." So not only did God provide everything that they needed, there was leftovers. And we should take courage in that. And understand in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Can I be honest with you for just a second? I've been anxious a little bit in the last week or so. When all of this hit, I became anxious. I was worried whether Nick and Macy was even going to be able to have their wedding or not. I was worried whether the Commons was going to allow us to have the reception, knowing all the plans and the hard work that they put in, and Macy's parents, Andy and Judy, all the work that they put in to make that happen and be the day that they wanted it to be for their daughter and for my son. And I was worried that might not happen. But it did. And it was an awesome day. And then I was worried that night that Nick and Macy were flying out to Cancun, whether it was a good idea for them to go or not. Are they going to get down there? Are they going to get stuck down there? Are they going to be susceptible to catching the virus because they're flying on an airplane and they're going to be so far away from home? But they made it to Cancun, and I'm thankful for that. You know, and I really started to thinking. And this is where stinking thinking comes in. I started thinking, what if this coronavirus causes people to not give anymore? What if they decide, you know what, we're not at church, so we're not going to give financially. And if we don't give financially, then it could my salary become in jeopardy? The rest of our staff, could they possibly not get what they need to get to meet their obligations financially? And what about the church's obligations to missionaries and the other expenses that we have with utilities and insurance and all those sort of things? And I just started worrying, and it's almost like I could hear God say, "Ron, I'm in control. Okay, I got this, and I'm going to provide. And so I'm going to trust that regardless of the circumstances. And I'm going to ask you to do the same thing. I'm going to ask you to trust him, even if it doesn't make sense." Because that's what happens sometimes. We're put in situations where it doesn't even make sense. But we need to trust the Lord. He's in control and he will provide. That's the first thing that you need to understand. The second thing we need to understand is that this is a great opportunity to serve and to witness. I've already alluded to the fact that we've helped our own, and we're going to continue to do that to the best of our ability. We're going to do our best to provide you with what you need, not only from a physical standpoint, but we're also going to try to provide sermons for you. We're going to try to provide maybe midweek Bible lessons that you can have. I'll be talking with Spencer. I'm going to be talking with Lauren about possibly putting some things out there for our youth and for our children. And we're going to do our best to provide the physical needs and the spiritual needs for the church. But this is a great opportunity for the church to serve and to witness while we're going through this time. It's a great time to check on neighbors. It's a great time to check on the elderly. It's a great time to check on those who have, who maybe have health problems that have needs. And I know that the suggestion is to stay away from groups of 10 or more people. So unless your next door neighbor are the Duggars, I would encourage you to check in on them. Maybe maybe knock on the door, stand back your 6 feet when they come to the door, whatever the case may be, and just see if there's anything that they need, any way that you can help them out. See if there's an opportunity there in which you can serve them. You know, as you read through Scripture, it's interesting to me that one of the most explosive times in the history of the church was when the church was being persecuted and they were forced out of being able to meet together, and they started scattering throughout the community. And whenever they were scattered, everywhere they went, they witnessed to people and they won people to Christ, and new churches were being started. Now, we're not being persecuted, but we are being forced out of our Sunday morning home. We're not able to meet in our building for a while. And this is a great opportunity for the church to understand that the church is so much more than a building. It's so much more than the corner of Indiana Avenue and Mar Road. The church is the people. The church is not what sits here at this corner. The church is scattered all throughout Bartholomew County and Jennings County, Decatur County, Jackson County, other surrounding counties. In fact, whenever someone asks you, hey, where's your church located? I think it's fair to say, well, it's some of it's located at Cummins. Some of it's located in schools. Some of it is located in their homes. They're retired. Some of them work in retail. Some work in realty. Some practice law. See, the church is not a building. It's the people, and it's scattered throughout all the community, and it needs to be that way, not just during this time where we are quarantining ourselves or social distancing or whatever you want to call it. This is something we need to be doing on a regular basis. Do you realize when you read the book of Acts, you don't read of any church buildings? You read that the churches, they met in homes. They met in smaller groups, and they got together, and they prayed together. They devoted themselves to prayer, to the apostles' teaching, the Word of God. They committed themselves to fellowship and to the breaking of bread. They didn't have buildings that they met in. They didn't have schedules. They didn't have offices or denominations or some of the bureaucratic thing we see in some denominations. So basically, no church like we know it today. Yet, a church flourished. Church thrived. The book of Acts says they were adding to their number daily those who were being saved. I'm not suggesting that we do away with some of the things that we do today. What I am suggesting is this. We stop viewing the church as some place that we go. We stop viewing the church as a building and start viewing the church as the living body of Christ. And let's get away from a country club type of mentality where we just go and show up and we become members and we pay our tithe and we just do these things that we're supposed to do. Let's get away from the compartmentalizing of our lives. You go to church on Sunday and you be good and you do your Sunday things and you worship and you're friendly and do all that sort of thing. And then you go home and you have your home life and you do those sorts of things. And then you go to work and you have your work life and you do those things that you're expected to do at work. We're to be scattered throughout the community and be the church in every aspect of our lives. That's what we need to be. And with all of the extra time that we have right now, now that our social calendars have pretty much been erased for a while, use this as an opportunity to show the love of Jesus and be the church. Now, our target date for getting back into the church building is Easter Sunday. That's April the 12th. We plan to worship corporately that day, but that might not happen. But that's what we're shooting for. But that gives us 3 to 4 weeks to really let our light shine during this really dark and anxious time. This gives us 3 to 4 weeks to really show the love of Jesus to people who need to see it, to have that impact on people. Wouldn't it be awesome we come back together on April the 12th, that there are so many people here because we've been out sharing the love of Jesus and letting our light shine. There were so many people here that this building and this room that I'm sitting in right now couldn't contain all the people. And some of us had to sit down in the fellowship hall and watch it on the big screen. Wouldn't that be awesome? I believe that can happen. I believe it will happen if we do what we're supposed to be doing as believers in Jesus Christ. Because here's the deal. People are looking for answers. People are looking for hope. People are looking for peace. People are looking for light. And we have that. We have that in Jesus. And we need to share that. Down through the years, I've coached several different basketball teams from elementary up through varsity. And during those basketball seasons, I've spent many years practicing my teams. We practice and practice and practice. We work on the fundamentals. We work on how to dribble, how to shoot, how to pass, how to rebound, how to play defense, different offensive schemes, different defensive schemes, individual plays. We hone our skills for hours. We could have practiced all season long. And maybe have a great team, but if we never stop practicing and get out on the court and play a game, we'll never know where we stand. We'll never know what we're going to do against the opposition. We'd never know if we're any good or not. We've been practicing and practicing and practicing, and this is a great opportunity to play the game, to really get out there and do what we need to do to witness to people, to share the love of Jesus. Practicing and learning go for nothing if you never play the game. And there comes a moment in time when we need to leave the safety of our pews and we need to win the world over to Jesus. We've kind of been forced to do that right now. I encourage you to do that. Instead of being anxious, instead of just secluding yourself away from the rest of the world in your living room or your bedroom, make that call to a neighbor, knock on the door, talk to them, but let them know you care. Now, here's the third thing that I want you to understand. Continue to actively worship and support the ministry of ECCC. And we're going to, as I said, we're going to provide for you videos each Sunday, just like we're doing today. We're going to have the sermons up. We're going to do our best to bring you music that you can worship to. We're going to do our best to encourage you through these videos. And we're going to be in the office. If you have a need, you can call us. Certainly do that. Continue to meet around the Lord's table. I would also encourage you to be prepared to gather around the Lord's table with us. Go out and get some grape juice, get some crackers. Maybe you want to come by the church here and get some of the communion bread that we have here. Whatever you want to do in that regards, and be prepared to gather around the Lord's table. I believe that same meaning of gathering around the Lord's table can take place in your living room just as it does here in this sanctuary. And again, watch the videos. Spencer has set up a YouTube channel for us. You can find that at East Columbus Christian, East Columbus Christian Church. Go to YouTube and just search in East Columbus Christian Church. And then it's a dash and Columbus, Indiana. So that's where you can find us. Again, a new sermon will launch at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning. And be ready to do that. And be ready to take communion with us. And also, I ask you to be in prayer for us. We're going to do our best to minister to you in every way that we possibly can. Pray for the staff as we prepare, present, record, edit, and launch everything that we put out there. Pray for us that it's what God wants His people to hear. And not just for those of us who are part of East Columbus Christian Church. I think this is a great opportunity for people who don't meet within the four walls of this church to hear what we're all about as well, and to hear the gospel message. So I challenge you to do that during this trying time that we're in. I also ask that you continue to give like you would give as if you were coming to church on Sunday morning. at the risk of sounding like a televangelist right now, continue to support the ministry of the church. We have payroll obligations. We have mission obligations. We have utilities. We have insurance. All of these things still need to be taken care of, even though we're not meeting within the four walls of the church. So would you prayerfully consider how you can give during this time and continue to tangibly worship the Lord through the giving of your tithes and offering? We're doing our best to cut costs. I know Dan has turned down the thermostat so that we're not unnecessarily wasting energy, but we're doing our best to cut costs where we can, but there are still costs. So we ask you to continue to give, and you can do that in a few different ways. If you like the good old U.S. postal system, I know Mike Imley would appreciate this, but you can drop your check in the mail. You can mail that to 3170 Indiana Avenue. That's Columbus, Indiana, 47201. You can go to the website. That's eastccc.net. And you can click on the giving tab and you can give electronically that way. You can also give through the app. If you have a smartphone and you have the app, if you don't already have it, you can download the app. You can give that way. Or if you'd just like for someone to come to your home, maybe you want someone to come and serve you communion. We'll do our best to get out and do that. We'll do our best to get out and collect your offering if you want that. We'll come and do that for you. Continue to worship, continue to give, continue to do the things that we normally do, and maybe allow this to be as normal as possible. I recently watched a video of Max Lucado dealing with this coronavirus issue, and I just want to share with you the gist of what he was saying as I wrap up here this morning. One thing that he said that really resonated with me was this. He said, "Feed your faith and your fears will starve, but if you feed your fears, your faith will." It seems like every time we turn on the TV, we hear new numbers. More people are getting it as more tests are coming back and are made available and are coming back. More people are being diagnosed with the coronavirus. And so numbers change. We're watching the stock market, and we become worried about that, about our 401k and all of that sort of thing. We hear all these new numbers, these new restrictions, these new regulations, and I understand it causes anxieties and fear. But during this ever-changing situation, be reminded that we serve a God that never changes, and He will always provide. And we'll get through this. And I believe that when we do get through this, we'll be stronger than we ever were before. We'll be more unified than we ever were before. I'm going to put this verse up on the screen just one last time. And I, as we close, I want us to read this together one last time. And then I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. Read this with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that we would take to heart these passages of scripture that I believe you've led me to share with our people today. These passages of scripture that remind us how time and time again you have provided for your people. Lord, just help us to not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, to present our requests to you. And your word tells us that the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Help us to trust that, God. Help us to be the church. Help us to be the light. Lord, give us opportunities to serve and show the love of Jesus to people who might not know you yet, and Lord, also to people who do know you, but you're just using us to provide the care that they need. God, be with us during this time. May we all just feel a sense of unity and a sense of love and a sense of connection, even though we don't have the opportunity to see one another right now. We love you and we trust you and we thank you for Jesus, and we pray in his precious name.